Okay. Fine. So, last time we talked about how long you have to wait from things that are cooked in a fleishig pot for things that that have meat, etc., etc. Tavshish al basar. The question was asked after Chabura if I could clarify one point, which is how long does one have to do kinuach v'hadacha after having had milchiks before eating fleishiks. For example, this morning I had Cheerios and milk for breakfast. Let's say I decide to have fleishiks for lunch. Do I have to do kinuach v'hadacha? So presumably after 6 hours you won't have to do kinuach v'hadacha. If you go from fleishiks to milchiks, after 6 hours you don't have to do kinuach v'hadacha. But what about if it's less than 6 hours? So we mentioned that this is unclear, and as far as I could find, this question is not addressed by the poskim. Now I'm sure somebody addresses it, but as I said, I couldn't find anyone. But what we mentioned last time is that this question might depend on the machlokas between the Shach and the Taz as to what the halacha is. If you are nohag to wait 1 hour from fleishiks to milchiks, do you need to do kinuach v'hadacha? So the Shach holds that if you wait 1 hour, like the minhag of the Ramah, you're from Amsterdam, so you eat meat, and 1 hour later you may eat milk, even without kinuach hadacha. So it's pretty clear that according to the Ramah, according to the Shach, if I had milchiks for breakfast, I certainly would not have to wait more than an hour, or if I waited an hour, I would not need kinuach hadacha in order to eat fleishiks. But, as we noted, the Taz rejects that Shach. The Taz says 1 hour is this made-up thing, and you can't use it lahakel. In which case, when you're going from milchiks to fleishiks, it's not at all obvious that 1 hour would help to avoid the need of kinuach v'hadacha. So I asked around among various poskim, everybody said, you know, I've always wondered that question. But I never found anyone that talked about it. And I asked Rabbi Willig, and I asked Rabbi Tzvi Ram last night, and others, and a bunch of other Rabbanim who are the Chasana that I was with them last night, and everybody had more or less that same Ha'ara. So Rabbi Willig said, an hour. So I said, I the Taz? So he says, well, we paskin like the Shach. It's a funny psak, because and it's only relevant for people living in Amsterdam. But anyway, that's what he said. So then I said, well, what about according to the Taz? So he said, I don't know. So I mentioned what I said in Shir last time, which is it seems reasonable that the Taz, who doesn't give a Shir, and presumably is not going to say that you have to actually wait 6 hours, that if you're Mishar Ba'omid Yafed, that there's no longer any Tam Chalav in your mouth, you know, you have no chalav beina shinayim, and it's not nidbak bepeh and the like. According to the Taz, the truth is chalav beina shinayim wouldn't make a difference anyway, but even if we don't accept that, it should be okay. And Rabbi Willig thought that that made sense, as did the other various rabbanim with whom I discussed this at the Chasana. So it seems that either wait an hour, or if you are confident, if you feel confident that your mouth is clean, then perhaps even within an hour, one could be makel. More than an hour and your mouth feels clean, you could certainly be makel. It would seem. And within an hour, so maybe do kinuach v'hadacha, or perhaps no, perhaps if your mouth, even according to the Shach, if your mouth felt clean in this case, that would be sufficient. Yes?
Are you speaking in a case where you eat like in soft, like soft cheese, like you're saying, cereal milk?
Yeah.
That,
I'm talking about anything but hard cheese.
You should have, like, you can also say that there are a lot of stadim l'hakel, because first of all, there's shittos that even milk, you never have to wait.
Yes, there and are a lot of stadim l'hakel.
And even, like, the shittos that say that even if it's cheese, you don't even need to have adafa, right? Like, that's a real time.
Yes.
So, like,
you're right. There are studim lahakel, but those studim lahakel, both of the studim lahakel that you mentioned, we don't paskin like. Pashtus, we don't paskin like the Rashash, and paskin, we paskin that you do need kinuach v'hadacha. So you're right, there are studim lahakel. The question is, are those studim lahakel sufficiently strong to lemaisa be noeg lahakel.
Even the Tazmi agree.
As I said, you're right. In other words, that's the fascinating point of this question, which is that it would seem to be a very practical question, but in fact nobody seems to address it explicitly. Again, the lack of addressing it does point out, does support the minhag ha'olam, and the minhag ha'olam is to be meiko. Meaning, say, nobody ever heard of doing a kinuach v'adacha for, before lunch after having had milchiks for breakfast, even though it's within 6 hours. Practically speaking, I don't think anybody does that, as far as I've ever heard, and I think what we're saying is that makes a lot of sense why it is that nobody does that. Even though, as I said, I can't find that written on the books. Yes?
Would we say that if you feel, let's say right away you feel you're not spinning, so there's an issue,
So again, I think the pashup shot is that should, what does right away mean? Right away? Then sounds like you need kinuach v'adacha. Not right away, so that's where I'm struggling, because where's the shear? So the only shear that I could give you is the shach shear of an hour. So that's why Rabbi Willig felt that within an hour you should do kinuach v'adacha.
And then that's
within an hour you should do kinuach v'adacha. If you've done kinuach v'adacha, you can immediately eat fleishiks. After an hour, unless you feel like there's still shamnunis davuk b'feh, which practically speaking I think is pretty unlikely, so then you could eat fleishiks immediately without kinuach v'adacha. That was sort of the pshara that Rabbi Willig suggested.
Do you ask that you need to swallow whatever you're eating for
kinoa? So, as I said, it's a machlokas whether you need it or not, but the Pesach Chua says you should swallow it anyway, also hasid ochlin. It's not right to chew up food and then spit it out.
Right.
Okay. Yes?
And in the understanding, I don't know if this was discussed last time I was here, but the chash in these cases is that the food, when you have whatever you're eating, is going to then take in whatever's in your mouth. They both have to go down in order to violate basar mechala, meaning we're scared that something's in your mouth. And then when you have, let's say, basar after, so we're scared that you're going to whatever's
going to mix together.
And
it's going to mix together. And we said an interesting chakira that related to that question. But let's say pashup shad is that will get mixed. You'll have basar b'chalav d'rabbanan. In other words, either the basar in your mouth will mix with the gvina in your mouth, and you'll swallow
so
it.
Take the tam.
Or the tam, right? Rashi seems to be concerned about the tam, meaning to say that it will cause the food that you swallow, let's say the cheese that you swallow, to have some type of tam basar that's nidbak and it remains. Okay, fine. The next question, going back, and this sort of we ended off last time in the middle of addressing these general questions, is the following fascinating pre-Megadim. Let's say you had the following case, your fleishiks, and you want to eat a knife that was, you don't want to eat a knife, you want to eat, let's say, an onion that was chopped with a milchik knife, or even a more common question is something, onions fried in a milchik frying pan. Let's say, for example, I'm fleishiks, and I want to eat a scrambled egg with sautéed onion. So this scrambled egg is sautéed in a milchik, a frying pan, and the way you do this is you first sauté some onions and then you add the eggs. So we assume that those onions are milchiks, right? And since the onions are milchiks, so the omelet is milchiks, and since we are machmir not to have a tavshil shel chalav when we're fleishiks, so the question is, are you allowed to eat that omelet? Again, it's pariv in the sense that you didn't add milk to the omelet, but it was cooked in a milchik pan with davar charav. That's the question. So I had thought when I originally learned, so the Prima Gadim says you have to be machmir. The Prima Gadim is Eshel Avram in Or Chaim, Tav Tzadi Dalet, Sifkat and Vav, says that you have to be machmir. So you have to wait 6 hours before you could eat that omelet. So I had thought that this question is essentially the same question as Rabbi Akiva Eger that we saw last time. Remember, Rabbi Akiva Eger said that if you eat onions fried in a fleishig frying pan, you don't have to wait 6 hours. And the question basically is, how do you look at davar charif? Do you look at it as a tavshil shel basar, in which case you'd have to wait 6 hours, or do you look at it as just kalim of fleishig kalim, right? Fleishig kalim, in which case you don't have to wait 6 hours. That was the suffik of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger was machriya lahakel, that we see onions that are fried in a fleishig frying pan as just as if they were just as though they were just any old par food cooked with in a fleishig pot, and therefore you don't have to wait 6 hours. But who didn't come? If I'm fleishigs and I have onions fried in a milchik frying pan, it should be mutter. And therefore I thought that since we paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that seems to be the accepted psak. If you look, for example, at Rabbi Forrest's Halacha Sefer, we paskin, he says we paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So I thought that if we follow Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so we don't have to be choshish for this prima gadim, and we could also be makel to have that omelet when I'm fleishig. However, then Aviam showed me that Rabbi Sabalovsky said not like me. Or Sabalovsky said, no, the etzem, you could paskin like both the prima gadim and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's not a stira. How so? He said like this. He said, really, these are two different shilas. The first shila is, let's say Rabbi Akiva Eiger shiloh. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says you don't have to wait 6 hours when you add onions fried in a fleishig pan. And that's primarily because none of the chashashos are really shayach here. There's not going to be basar ben ashinayim, just onions. There's not going to be tam basar because it's not going to be nidbak bepeh because there's no actual basar here. It's true, the onions are machalya leblios, leshvach, v'chulei, 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 but lemaisa, there's no meat here. And therefore you could be makel. And even though we said that we don't necessarily always accept the reasons, right? Otherwise maybe you should be makel entirely with tavshil shel basar, like the Sfaradim, but still here we'll accept the reasons. Masha ein kein, in the case of the Rabbi Akiva, the Prima Gadim, no, I'm fully fleishig. I'm 100% fleishig, right? I ate meat. Now the question is, could I eat this omelet? The answer is that since halachically we say that the onions make this milchik tam like it's a tam rishon, so it should be aser alts tavshil shel chalav. And since we don't have tavshil shel chalav within 6 hours of eating meat, we'd have to be machmir. So now it gets really complicated because you can no longer go straight across, right? Yeah, you have to figure out whenever these shilas come up, is this Rabbi Akiva Eiger or is this Prima Gadim? So do we paskin like this Prima Gadim? So there are those that are choshish for it. But two kulas. One, the Yad Yehuda, Sadi Tas Hei, says, well, even if we accept this Prima Gadim, we won't go all the way. If the frying pan, the milchik frying pan, is eno ben yomo, you could be mako. Now why? Don't we assume that the charif is machaya le l'shvach? That's already a chumra gabi chumra gabi chumra gabi chumra. So to throw that in here, we could be mako. So I have to think now if I want to have this omelet with sauteed onions from the milchik frying pan. When was the last time milk was put in this frying pan? If I didn't have a cheese omelet for 24 hours in this frying pan, then I could be makel. However, my impression was that the Velt isn't choshish for this Prima Gadim. Maybe just because to teach this to the Velt would be so confusing. But one way or the other, the Velt doesn't seem to be choshish. And I saw that in the Sefer Davar Charif on page Yud Aleph, he quotes Rav Yashiv as saying the Minhag HaOlam is against the Prima Gadim. So if that's true, that makes life much easier. Okay, the next question. Not that that's a relevant factor, but...
I don't know, what's Rav Stolovsky's far to be mechalel just because you're not that fleishig, but the mice of this...
He's saying fundamentally this is a tavshil shel chalav. So, right, so then why, if I have the fleishig version, isn't it a tavshil shel basar? Because the svaros aren't shayach there. In other words, imagine that there actually is tam chalav in this omelet, right? Practically speaking, because of the davar harf and the like. So now, I'm fleishix, right? I have, let's say, according to Rashi, my mouth is full of shamnunish shel basar, and now I'm eating this milchik tasting omelet, and I'm going to be eating food that tastes just like basar b'chal of the rabbanan. So that's why you have to be machmir in that case. Mashain came going the other way, nothing bad will happen. Right? Yeah.
It's, I think even probably so this one's by eggs, that it would never be bolea out of the dairy frying pan, because by the time it reaches Yatzalet, it's about able to be rotive. How the liquid eggs reaches Yatzalet, it might already be solid. It might never be a state that you have a liquid Yatzalet in the frying pan.
I don't think so, for a couple of reasons. It doesn't really matter here, because in this case, so the onions are the problem. Let's even say
how the onions draw out.
Who cares?
From the dairy frying pan.
It's a clean. That was a different shayla. Yeah.
Just to clarify, within this prima gadim, even the prima gadim would be makil if the, at least according to the Yehuda, if you cooked a non-darav charif, even a ben yomo.
If it's non-darav charif, then everybody agrees.
Even if it's ben yomo.
Yeah, that's what the Rama says. You don't have to get for sure.
Because I was under the impression that the prima gadim disagree with the Rama. But so
something like
that. Darav charif enhances bleos even by a ben yomo.
Sure, because it makes it like Tom Rishon, not Tom Cheney. It's right. It's like there's Chalav Mamish in it. Okay, fine. The next interesting question that comes up here is the following question: Golan French fries. Do you have to wait 6 hours? Ah, Maisim B'chol Yom. Right. That just. So, just in case, in the unlikely event people don't know what I'm talking about, you might, after hearing this, decide you don't want to have Golan French fries anymore. So, when things are deep fried, so people or industries, restaurants use the same oil many times. So let's imagine now some of the things that Golan deep fries are actual meat. Let's say they deep fry poppers or schnitzel or the like, right? So now, what happens when they put schnitzel into their deep fryer? So the oil is bolea from the meat, right? The oil is basically what we would call tavshil shel basar, right? It's like the challah potato. There's no actual meat in the oil left, we would hope. I don't even know if that's true, but let's even assume that's true, right? There's no meat left in the oil, but it was cooked together with meat. Good, now they take that same oil and they add French fries to it and they deep fry the French fries. So the question is, you have to wait 6 hours. And at first glance, the answer is surely you would have to. Why? Because Ashkenazim assume at least that you have to wait 6 hours for tavshil shel basar. And this is, these French fries are basically tavshil shel basar. That's the simple answer. So are there any Studim lahakel? So there are a couple of studim lahakel, and Avi sent me a fascinating article on this topic from the newspaper called The Voice of Lakewood. They have Golan in Lakewood apparently. It's not as good though. So they had an article on this topic. So they pointed out in the article that l'chara there's two tzad in l'haka. Tzad number one is based off of the following question. Remember, the Shach wrote that, let's say I use a dirty kli, meaning to say a kli that actually had meat in it, and instead of washing it out well, or before washing it out well, I put something pariv into it, and I even cook it. And now I eat that parah food, so I don't have to wait 6 hours. That was the view of the Shach. And the question is why? Why does that make sense? Once we're machmir for tavshil shel basar, so we should be machmir here as well. Here there's actually basar. And moreover, as the Pischei Tshuva discusses, l'chora we're talking about a case where there isn't shishim keneged the actual meat residue that remains. Because if there was shishim, so of course you wouldn't have to wait 6 hours. The meat's gone. So seemingly the Shach says, even though there's residual meat here, and there's not shishim keneged the residual meat, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So the question is why? Why is the Shach makel? The Shach has a diuk from the Rama to support his kula, but what's the logic behind it? So one way of understanding it, and this idea could be found somewhat in the Yad Yehuda, as well as I think it's developed in the Megillah Sefer, and the following argument, that this is really, you're right, it should be treated like a Tavshil Shel Basar. But as we noted, Tavshil Shel Basar is a Chumrah. They were only Machmir when you intended to put the meat there. So when I want there to be, you know, a Tam of Basar in my Tavshil, so then we have to be Machmir and treat it like Basar and wait 6 hours, right? In the example of the Chalan potato. So I want the challan potato to taste just like meat. That's the whole idea of putting meat into challan, to make the challan, the potatoes taste like basar. And therefore, we are machmir to treat that as though it is basar and wait 6 hours. Masha'en came over here, in the case of the shach. I don't really want this residual meat residue left here in my kli. I would be much happier if it was gone. I'm just lazy. I don't want to bother washing the dishes. So therefore, even though this is really a Tavshil Shel Basar, a accidental Tavshil Shel Basar, or a Tavshil Shel Basar where I don't really want the Basar to be here, so that the Chumrah doesn't apply. That's the theory of the Shach. Really, they are both Tavshil Shel Basar. There is, right? This should be a Tavshil Basar, but since I'm not really interested in this being a Tavshil Shel Basar, the Chumrah of Tavshil Shel Basar was not instituted. Oh. So if so, maybe you would say the same thing over here. I don't want my French fries to have tam basar in them. I don't want them to be a tashel shel basar. I want French fries to be parif. Well, why do they have some, why are they like a tashel shel basar? Because I don't want to put in new oil every time I run my deep fryer. So therefore, this is sort of accidental tashel shel basar. And the minhag of Tavshil Shel Basar was never instituted for accidental Tavshil Shel Basars, just like the Shach, so too here. That's reason number one, Lahakel. Reason number two, Lahakel, is based off the Ad Yehuda, and he says that here perhaps we could rely on Te'imas Yisrael. If you recall back from Simen Sadiches, we found that the Rama said we don't rely on Te'imas Gai. And the question is why? Is it because we're concerned that Goyim aren't experts? That was the implication of the Raman Taras Chatas. Or for some other fancy reason, like Rabbi Kiv Eger, the Prima Gadim, that were choshish for various shitos and the like. And in terms of Timas Yisrael, we thought maybe you could be Mekel. There was the Stira and the Shach. We saw the resolution of Rabbi Kiv Eger and how the Shach himself seems to explain himself in the Aruch Mishach and the like. But push comes to shove, in the end of the day, one could make a strong case both in general and certainly within the view of the Shach that when it comes to determining whether something is milchix or fleishix, Timas Yisrael is sufficient. And certainly in this case where it's not a klipa issue. And therefore, assuming I taste these Golan French fries and I don't taste the tam basar in them, so I could assume that there is no tam basar here, in which case I should be able to be mako. So therefore, based off of those two reasons, one could say, let's not treat the Golan French fries as a Tavshil Shel Basar, and assuming at least that they don't taste fleishix, you wouldn't have to wait 6 hours. Yes?
But wasn't the Shach talking about a case, not like a chila that you can do it, meaning like you did it, there was some residual meat. I mean, in the Golan case, they're putting it into meat that they...
Okay, so good, excellent chilak. So first of all, I'm not sure, I mean, the Shach himself, I don't think he says that, like, l'chatchila, you should wash your pot, but if you don't, it's okay, you don't have to wait. I think the Shach would be mekel, if I'm just not in the mood to wash my pot, I could still do this. But you are correct, and this is a chilak that Rabbi Felder, who's quoted, one of the poskim in Lakewood, quoted in this article, made basically your chilak. That this is not actually exactly like the case of the Shach. In the case of the Shach, I don't want this meat to be here at all. Here, I don't care if the meat's here or not, but initially the meat was put into this oil, bedafka, right? So it's true in this second instantiation, I no longer care, but when the oil turned into a Tavshil Shel Basar, it's because I wanted this meat to be here. No, but the point is like this. The question is the oil. The oil is a Tavshil Shel Basar Bekavana, right? Because then, And now this oil remains a tal shel basar. So now this very oil gets absorbed into my French fries. After all, what is a French fry? It's like a shell of potato filled with oil. So basically, the oil was a tal shel basar bekavana, and now this French fry has absorbed this very oil. It's half oil. So it's true in the French fry. I don't care much whether this tavshil this basar is here, but
the tavshil basar
is. So you can't necessarily compare the two. That's reason number one. And Rabbi Forsheimer pointed out that it's not clear another posek in Lakewood. It's not clear we accept this shach. The Beis Meir might argue, and it's not clear that this vart in the shach is correct. It's a nice theory, but it's not mochrach. And maybe there are some that even say within the shach who would have to be machmir unless they're rishishim, even though that's hard to understand also. So, at the very least, it's questionable, it's a dubious kula, and therefore, the first reason does not, again, it's not a terrible reason, but it's not necessarily strong enough to be mako. What about the second reason? So here too, he pointed out that we are, Rabbi Forsheimer, along the lines of what I mentioned to you earlier in the year from Rabbi Willig, said we can't taste anything. Yeah, in theory, I don't oppose to Timas Yisrael, but Lamaisa, we never taste anything ever. And I could say that's because nothing's ever there. But here Rabbi Felder added, yeah, but here there's, we know there's something here. The way Rabbi Felder put it was, or is quoted as putting it, it is, although one may usually use the heter of Timas Yisrael, in our case it wouldn't apply, since there are so many meaty fats in the oil, it must be that one tastes them. And therefore, even if one says he doesn't, we say that it's a problem with the taster. And really, there is a taste of meat. And I would have said, there's no problem with the taster. Okay, probably that's because the oils from the meats are very similar to the oil of the oil, and it's something like min bimino, and it's batel de rov. Maybe there isn't rov. I don't know. A lot of oil. But I've eaten a lot of fat from the original thing. But therefore, Lemaisa, Rabbi Forsheimer and Rabbi Felder were machmir. At least they were machmir, I should say, that the store who sold these things had to write down treat as fleishiks, as opposed to fleishik kalim or something like that. In other words, that if you're putting a hechsher on something, one could not be makel. The article cited the Divrei Moshe, Pei Tes Mem Beis, and others that are makel. I don't know who the Divrei Moshe is. So there are poskim, though, that are makel, either because of one of the two factors, or both of them combined. Yeah.
If you didn't have the factor of tasha shabasha, then it would have been mutter because it's not by nata tera. Like, wouldn't it would be from chicken to oil?
No. If it was not by nata tera, then you could eat it with milchiks, right? You're not going to be able to put sour cream on your golan french fries. That's not what we're advocating for.
Right, so
we're saying that this is like a tashil shabasar, right? Like the, that let's say according to the Ikar Hadin, or what Sfardim would say, right? So according to Sfardim, right, and the Pshat and the Gemara, let's say at least the way Rabbeinu Tam reads it, if you had a potato from your chalant, you don't have to wait 6 hours, right? So this oil is like the potato from the chalant, meaning to say the potato from the chalant absorbed Tam directly from the basar, Tam Rishon Shel Basar. Right, so too, this oil absorbed fleishig tam directly from the meat. It's tam rishon shel basar. And it's not like, and we're not even going to say this is tam sheni in the French fries, because the French fries mamish absorb the oil, right? But you don't have to wait for tam shel basar.
But
that doesn't help for us. If that was the correct analysis, so we Ashkenazim have to be machmir for tam shel basar.
I'm saying, okay, if not for the chumra of tashin shel basar,
right,
even outside that you would wait, then there would be no tzad to wait 6 hours because it...
As far as I know, unless you were concerned in the Golan case that they're actually like residual pieces of meat in your french fries, but assuming...
From the tam perspective, tam from the chicken to the oil to the french fry, then you wouldn't have to...
You couldn't eat it with milchiks. Even Sfardim could not eat this with milchiks, but...
It wouldn't make you wait, okay.
But the question is, you have to wait 6 hours, Yeah.
First of all, I think why you master it, because I think there's a sign in the Catholic thing that says Father made completion.
Yeah. Okay, there's so they pass him like the voice of Lakewood.
Okay. And also, this is a very different shadow, but getting a black coffee from Dunkin' Donuts while you're pleasure.
So, I assume that the only concern, I mean, it might be totally parav because the kelim are parav and the like, but even if they use milchik kelim, why would that be a problem? In other words, kelim are definitely okay. If you're fully fleishiks, you're allowed to have something parav that was cooked in a milchik kli. So,
there's no concern for residual.
It's hard to imagine. Looks pretty black, right? I'll give you a raya. I don't know. You could ask somebody who's an expert in this mitzias more. But I think that I once tried to calculate this, and I thought I was correct, but I wasn't careful enough to be 100% sure. But that even with less than shishim of milk in coffee, you could see it. Meaning, say, you put a couple of drops of milk, especially if it's whole milk, into coffee, it will look different. I don't know if it'll taste different. I could taste it in less than shishim, but you could see it in less than shishim. So if your black coffee looks black, so you don't have to worry that there's residual drops of challah in it. Stam, I don't think they would do that. They're not, hopefully they're keeping a cleaner kitchen than that. So I would think that there's no problem having black coffee from a restaurant when you're fleishiks.
Can you argue that the oil itself cannot be attached to shalvaser because it doesn't have a gun? Only when the fries go in, and the fries go in, you're not trying to make it inflation.
What's no sin tam of gan? No sin tam of shvach.
The baser and the shaman?
Vade. Mecha tasty, it's lefgan. I assume it's lefgan.
And Kavgim always said it's...
Yeah, but we are. I hear. I hear. I didn't even appreciate the profundity of your question. I would assume, I don't know, it's a good hara, maybe that I was talking about olive oil, not cottonseed oil or whatever they use there. I don't know, it's a good hara. But.
Thank you.
Isn't this all this like extra lard? Like, why don't you deep fry fries? And then use old oil and see if it tastes different.
So
and why do you just
that comes back down to the Timas Yisrael question.
If it actually doesn't taste different.
It doesn't taste different. Let's assume it doesn't. Let's assume you can't tell the difference between the fries that they serve at lunch in the calf and the fries that they serve in the dinner in calf, right? They taste exactly the same. Blind taste test. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But still, those who are machmir say either that we are not expert enough to rely on Timas Yisrael in general, or, that's what Rabbi Forsheimer said, or what Rabbi Felder added, which is especially in this case, we will be hesitant to rely on Timas Yisrael because since the fatty residue from the meat is is certainly here and not batel b'shishim and still not tasteable, so it shows that we don't know what we're doing dafk over here.
And also that leftover like shreds of meat, that's also, isn't that after, just check
if they're there. So as far as I know, you don't have to be choshish. Nobody in the article said you have to be choshish for them. But I only mentioned it because theoretically, if it is a concern, it would be a problem. And I assume that's going to really depend on how clean of an operation that they're running, right?
Maybe.
So it's hard to say. You could be mevarer. Mevarer in one place doesn't help for another place. Mevarer one time doesn't necessarily help for another time. Okay. All right. So that is it for Simon, for up to Sif Gimel. Sif Dalet. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have leftover bread from a milchig meal, you should not eat them with a fleishig meal because of the concern that nidbak bahem tzas basar, and likewise the reverse. And this is based off of the Yerushalmi that's cited in the sixth parak of Psachim, cited by the Tor. So Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe, Chelak Aleph, Simon Lamed Ches, deals with a very common question, right? Let's say you want to have a challah with your Malav Malka, you want to have a milchig Malav Malka, but your Chala was at the table with meat. So what's the halacha? So Rav Moshe writes, Hine ha'isr hu rak al shirei chaticha sapa she'achlu ba hagvina. Oh, af al ha'chaticha ketana she'chatach kedei lechol ima hagvina. She'al zu eino nizhar kevan she'chashav la'ochla im hagvina v'lachein. Af im yomar she'lo naga ba hagvina hu kemilsa de lo ramya alei v'lav adaitei. So the pieces of bread that are left on the table from your fleishig meal, there's a good chance that you touch them with your dirty hands. And even if you say, no, I'm confident, this bread I didn't touch it with dirty hands, still, you never know, milsa de lo ramya. Aval pasa gdola shi omedes bein la ma'achale chalav, bein la ma'achale basar nisharim ba, bein la choshem anaga ba gvina o habasar. So certainly the uncut section of the loaf is going to be parah, according to Rav Moshe. That's even if you didn't remove it from the table. It's possible that according to Rav Moshe, even the sliced pieces of challah that were on the on the tray would still be okay. And the only ones that are usher are the ones that are actually on the table, though. Because the ones on the tray, so if you touch them, you take them. So the question is, do you have to be concerned? Well, no, I didn't like the end piece, so I sort of pushed that one aside to take the middle piece, or a bigger piece, or a smaller piece, and my hands are dirty, so there's more of a chashash. On the other hand, our hands tend to be cleaner. We use silverware, but not everybody's so nizhar about that, depending on what age children you have at the table, certainly. So it's questionable with respect to the sliced bread that's on the table, but certainly the whole uncut section of the loaf, unless one has particular reason to be concerned, one could be makel and use your challah, your milchig meal.
These are also the ones most likely to touch like every single piece of challah.
Exactly. That's why I said, I think if kids are around for sure, there's nothing to talk about. Yeah.
Is there only speaking about fish?
Those who have the attitude towards fish of Chamir Sakanta Yosir Meisura, as we discussed at the time, not everybody fully agrees to that perspective. But yes, the belt isn't makbid because the belt doesn't treat it. The same belt. I don't know. I come from the belt that isn't so makbid about the fish issues. I hear.
Yeah, they didn't even plenty of people who were makbid did not take off fish, did not take the chal off the table. The anacha was.
I hear.
Whatever it is, either the kosh chamer scantim is also more less shaykh
I don't know. It's a good hara. It's a good hara. For those, I'd say it's a good hara. It's a good hara. I hear. It's a good hara. Maybe good hara tzaraya that way. That the belt isn't choshish.
No, I think it's sakana. Because the sakana makes a certain zahiras, which you don't have that hester.
Okay, maybe that as well. That's a reasonable answer.
Or it could also be that you don't eat your fish with hands.
Adirava. So say, especially on Shabbos, you have no choice but to eat your fish with your hands. No, the bones.
Oh, I'll be okay with that.
Ha. Well, the gefilte fish.
Yeah, they made gefilte.
All right. Chavez. Carp, I mean, what do you mean? There's another type of fish? The same people that are choshish for sakana, the ones that only eat carp, I think. Aha. Okay. The Beis Yosef cites from the Chuvos HaMiuchasos of the Ramban that it's usher to eat cheese or gvina on a tablecloth that you ate fleishiks. And he says this isn't machmas the balua betocho, because we're not worried about balua, it's only yotze al yedei davar cham, rather because there's going to be little crumbs of fleishiks, little pieces of food, and that is the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch as well in Sif Dalet. So the Pischi Tshuva cites the Radvaz, and the Shoel in the Radvaz, this is a Pischi Tshuva Sifkan Ches, the Shoel in the Radvaz says that he never saw anyone being machmir about this. So the Radbaz says, yeah, in Achinami. That's because since the Rashba to the Radbaz, they invented plates. Meaning to say, in our time, the Radbaz says that people eat on plates. And therefore, the concern isn't so great. Even if there are little crumbs of fleishiks left on my tablecloth, but I'm not eating food off the tablecloth, I'm eating food off of the plate. However, the Radbaz concludes that nevertheless, you should still at least flip the tablecloth over. Meaning to say, you don't have to have a separate tablecloth, but you should flip the tablecloth over. Now, why? So apparently, either mitzad minag, or because of the chash that sometimes you might eat things that fall onto the tablecloth, or whatever it is, maybe a bread you keep on the tablecloth. He wasn't willing to go all the way and say that the din doesn't apply at all, but you could be a little more makel to flip the tablecloths. Now, l'chora, so the question is, what about nowadays? So, it would seem that based off of this Radvaz and the Pischei Tshuva, this is support for the Minhag HaOlam of having separate tablecloths, or at least to use a placemat. And even though one could definitely argue that that concern is not so great anymore because we don't eat off the tablecloth, still one would have to, mitzad minhag at the very least, one should be machmir. Now, the it's interesting. The Badi Ashulchan quotes the Radvaz as being mekel, but it's not clear why. The Badi Ashulchan, though, of course, Lamaisa says you should be machmir. He quotes a Menachas Yaakov to that effect. It should be pointed out, though, that you don't actually have to change tablecloths or flip the tablecloths if you clean the tablecloth. This is what Rabbi Force points out. So if you had a plastic tablecloth and you wiped it down with a sponge or something like that, you cleaned it off, or a paper towel, that would be sufficient. For cloth tablecloths, so you'd actually have to launder it. But for a plastic tablecloth where you actually wipe down anything that was on it, one could be makel. And that would be wouldn't be a violation of the minhag.
Would it be okay to wipe off a cloth tablecloth?
So he thinks that without laundering a cloth tablecloth, you know, you can't really be sure that you got everything off it. When you use a paper towel and you carefully wipe down a milchik tablecloth, so you can be confident that everything's off it. A wiping, now you could say, well, what if I take the tablecloth and I shake it out and this and that? Enochinami, I'm not convinced that that's so different, but at least Rabbi Force thought that the concern would still exist with a cloth tablecloth until you laundered it. But for a plastic tablecloth, if you scrubbed it down, that would be sufficient. Yeah?
Does it matter if you have one under the other while you use it?
I don't see why that would be a problem. What would your
concern? Like it's the cloth at some point or something like that?
Well, I don't know. Have it a little losif. If you think it did, but I don't think you have to make a gzera. Yeah.
I mean, if you shut a table, no tablecloth, let's say in the calf.
Right.
Do they have to clean between the lunch and dinner? Because
in the calf, they put tablecloths on for fleishiks. But if, according to Rabbi Forst, if they carefully wipe down the tables in between, I think that would be sufficient. They happen not to. They do put a tablecloth. They treat the tabletops as milchiks in the calf, and they put down tablecloths for fleishiks. Okay. What about fleishik silverware? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you shouldn't cut cheese or even bread with a knife that was used to cut meat. And the Rama writes that Nagu Kol Yisrael to have two sakinim. Now, the Rama writes that if you do ne'itza bekarka, it works. What's the idea of ne'itza bekarka? You take the knife and you stab it into a hard dirt. And the idea is that simply washing the knife will not necessarily get the shamnunish and nidvak bow off of it, but doing the itza bekarka, which is much more abrasive, will succeed. poskim have said that using steel wool or harsh sponge and scrubbing well has the same effect. I remember once when I was young, my grandmother telling me to go stick the knife into the dirt outside ground 10 times. So this is, she watched me, of course, there's no Ne'aman as far katan. But this was a very exciting thing to do, to, you know, stab the dirt with a knife, especially because my mother would never have allowed me to touch a knife at that age. And here I was being told to stab with it. So it was an assignment that that I remember well. So the truth is, though, that the poskim disagree with the purpose of ni'itza. If you look at Tosfos on Chulin, Daf Ches Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil BeHilchasa, so he understands, like we said, that the purpose of ni'itza is to get rid of the shuman shayatuach al gabav. In other words, for the shuman, regular kinuach does not work, and that's the purpose of ni'itza. Tosfos, though, writes that that's because the shimush shel iser of goyim was tadir, but sakin shechatach ba iser bakrai, so then kinuach v'hadacha would be enough. Meaning to say, we don't assume that every single time you use a knife for fleishiks that it would require an itza. It's, I guess, the accumulated usage over time. However, there are some rishonim that indicate that ni'itza works for blios. For example, if you look at the Beis Yosef, who quotes the Orchos Chaim, he says, it's mutter lachtoch lechem imsakin basar, the lechol bo gvina, mishum dave not barnat. Now, what does that mean? So, sounds like he's saying, is that when you have a fleishig knife, so that's tam rishon. And therefore, if you do ni'itza, and then you cut bread, so the bread is tam sheni, and then you could eat it with gvina. So, and he says specifically, this is like dagim sha'alu bikara. But you still can't use it to cut cheese. Sorry, I said it wrong. I apologize. If without ni'itza you could cut bread, because of not barnat, but if you want to cut cheese, then you need to do ni'itza. That's what the Orchos Chaim says. So, this is the view of the Rash Mishantz. So what's going on here? In other words, if we're talking about shamnunis, so l'chora there should be no difference. If there's shamnunis without ni'itza, so I shouldn't be able to go ahead and cut bread without ni'itza and use that bread to eat it with cheese, because now that bread will have basar schmaltz on it, and I can't use that bread with cheese. So apparently, and why should there be a difference between bread and cheese? So apparently the Orchos Chaim thought, no, that dochka de sakina, even without davar charif, causes some amount of blios into the knife. And therefore, when I use this knife to cut my meat, we're not considered a shamnunis on the knife. For that will get washed off in the sink. But we're concerned that there's some types of blios that are absorbed into the knife. So therefore, if I use the knife to cut bread, so the knife was tam rishon, bread is tam sheni, now I could put cheese on that bread. But I can't use that knife to cut cheese. That's not tam sheni shel hatter. So for that, I need to do ni'itza. And just like these blios come in bitzonein, al yedei dochka de sakina, they come out through the opposite process, ki'ilu, which is ni'itza bekarka. So basically, ni'itza is doing something else. It's like a hagala for blios bitzonein al yedei dochka de sakina. That's the view of the Rash. So, how do we paskin? So the Taz writes that according to the Rash, we aren't concerned of blios bitzonein, even with docha de sakina, if it's not davar charif. And therefore, you should be able to not only cut bread without ni'itza, but even cheese. Except he says that you shouldn't. Lechem is okay without ni'itza, but cheese is not okay. So you need cheese, you need ni'itza only to cut gvina. You don't need ni'itza to cut lechem. Now the problem is this doesn't manafshach, this doesn't make very much sense. Because the Shach, the Taz says, we're not. This has nothing to do with Nat Bar Nat, because we don't think there are blios here. So I don't understand the Taz. I don't understand what this svar is. But the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef disagrees, and he writes that Nitza is not because of the Balua Besakin, and it's because of the Shamnunis, and therefore, even to cut bread, you would need to do Ni'itza. And that's what the Taras Chata says as well. So Bekitzer, according to the Taz, it's Mutter Min Hadin to cut bread with a Fleishig knife without Kinuach. And you don't need Ni'itza. And this is actually the Psak of the Chachmas Adam, and the Shach disagrees. According to the Taz, it's Mutter to cut Gvina with a Fleishig knife Al Yedei Ni'itza. And the Shach, Sivkat Mechav Bey, sounds like Ni'itza only helps to cut pas and not to cut cheese. Also, not so clear why. According to the Ramah, the minhag is to have a fleishig and a milchig knife, and basically, under normal circumstances, not to rely on kinuach or Ni'itza. And the Taz says, because we're concerned that you're going to cut meat with a cheese, with a milchig knife, or the reverse. But inyan chitach pas, there is no minag. In other words, there's no problem using the fleishig knife to cut bread to eat with the milchig meal. And the Shach writes in Sifkat Mechav Beis that b'shas atzorach you could be mako and rely use a fleishig knife with ni'itza. Lemaisa, the poskim say you should have separate set of knives, and not to rely on the various kulas of the Taz and the like, and across the boards. Okay, so this brings us to the end of Simen Pei Tes.